The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
If you want to know a city, meet its animals. Well, that's the tagline of Animals of Dublin, a new exhibition starting in the Little Museum of Dublin today. Now, to hear about some of the notable creatures highlighted in the exhibition, I'm joined by the Deputy Director of the Little Museum of Dublin, Sarah Costigan, and we'll also be talking to the CEO of Dublin Zoo, Christoph Schwitzer. Good morning and welcome to you both. Sarah, tell me all about this exhibition. What's the idea?
Absolutely, Pat. Thank you so much for the chance to be here. So Animals of Dublin, as you said, is an exhibition looking at the reality that the more we think about and the more we know about the animals of our city, really genuinely the more insight that they give us. We had great fun with this exhibition talking to the people of Dublin about their memories of their interactions with animals over the generations. And I must say the one thing that kept coming through in that communication was the number of warm and affectionate memories that there is for Sarah, the elephant over in Dublin Zoo. Someone I know that your family has played an instrumental role in creating memories for children for generations.
Absolutely. My father was obviously the elephant keeper in charge of Sarah and Comely, the younger elephant. But someone claims that Sarah turned up at a birthday party. Yeah.
They do.
I would remember that if that were true. That's my dad would have had to walk Sarah down the Phoenix Park and across to the Coombe to celebrate somebody's birthday.
I know, but it's an amazing thing. That was a memory that came through to us from a guest on social media who she was adamant it was her mother's birthday. They were living down by the Coombe, and you can only imagine the excitement that would have caused as a child. But it is really quite, it's incredible to see this kind of the spectrum of memories that children have to share. And indeed, we did find ourselves wondering what your key memory of Sarah was growing up when we were preparing the exhibition.
Just so many. I mean, just riding on the back of an elephant, you know, there was a front seat for the elephant rides. And that's where my dad would tend to put us, a little single seater. And just the power of the animal was so amazing. And even though we were well used to it, the idea that you could possibly fall off was never far from your mind. Anyway, I want to talk about squirrels, because there is a culprit in all of this. We had the native red squirrel, and along came the Duke of Buckingham. What did he do?
Absolutely. This is a fascinating story. So back in 1911, the Duke of Buckingham is invited over to Ireland to attend an Earl's daughter's wedding. He brings with him six pairs of the grey squirrel. They very quickly get out into our natural woods, and I dare say they procreated very successfully. And as time goes on, they manage to kind of muscle out on the native red squirrel. So it's interesting to learn the specific moment where that happened.
Now, some of the most familiar animals in Dublin would be the pigeons and the seagulls. Less obvious but ever-present are the rats. Now, do you mention all of these in your exhibition?
The pigeons do have a key role at the heart of the exhibition, absolutely. So the pigeon would actually have been one of the earlier domesticated birds here in Dublin. And while many people may not be too fond of them today, they did historically have quite an affectionate role at the heart of many people's lives. In some of James Joyce's writing, he is known to have used the word pigeon as an affectionate nickname for people. And indeed, Countess Markovitch, after the events of 1916, when she's located in a prison over in England, there is records where she's saying that it is quite dull and lonely during her time there, and that her time in Mountjoy was a lot more lively because she did have seagulls and pigeons, which were quite tame, and that she had the ability to interact with and train them in prison.
Mm-hmm. Other birds that feature, harking back to the rising, the Stephen's Green ducks.
This is one of the stories we were particularly intrigued to hear. So again, during the events of 1916, during the Easter Rising, there was a great amount of humanity shown from both sides when each day for 1 hour, everyone would cease fire and stop fighting. This was so that a man called James Carney could actually come out. He was the groundskeeper in St. Stephen's Green, just located across the road from us in the Little Museum of Dublin. He would come out for 1 hour every morning to feed his prize winning ducks that were living there. And as our research went on, we learned that actually, in fact, six ducks died during the Easter week of 1916.
Some of the unsung casualties of the rising. I did mention rats. I did mention seagulls. You're avoiding them, I presume, are you? The pest that is the seagull at the moment.
They didn't play a key role in the exhibition, but a couple of animals that I particularly enjoyed learning more about would have been the Irish wolfhound. And actually, the evolution that that as an animal has gone through has been quite interesting. So the wolfhound originally, it would have been a symbol of the ancient Celtic nobility in Ireland. But then in the 18th century, the wolfhound kind of disappears. But then come 1850s, a man called Captain George Graham decides that he wants to try and revive this breed from extinction. He travels around Ireland collecting dogs, mixing breeds. And within about a decade, he has produced what is the Irish wolfhound as we know it today. He wasn't initially celebrated for this because he had not, in fact, managed to save that breed from extinction. He had merely created a new one. But I do think it really is fair to say that the Irish wolfhound is really quite a wellspring of national pride for us here today.
Now, the Phoenix Park deer, the park itself was established by the Duke of Ormond in 1662. Lord Chesterfield, I think, gifted it to the city of Dublin. Contained therein is Dublin Zoo, and Christoph Schwitzer, the CEO of Dublin Zoo, is on the line as well. Christoph, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Now, you are launching the exhibition for the Little Museum of Dublin this evening. You know, your role as CEO of Dublin Zoo, is a place of huge affection for most Dubliners.
It is indeed. And I learned that in my first couple of months when I came here. I started as CEO of Dublin Zoo in 2020, in August 2020, actually, after the first lockdown. And of course, as you know, we had to run the Save Dublin Zoo campaign a couple of months later. So I was really thrown in at the deep end, and I learned how great that affection for the zoo was when within 12 hours we raised €1 million from the Irish public. It was absolutely overwhelming.
Now, the zoo, is it back to normal?
It is back to normal. I'm very happy to say that so far, touch wood, we are tracking a normal pre-COVID year this year. So our visitors are coming back to us, and it's really great to see how busy we have been, particularly over the last few weeks, since the weather has started to be a bit better. Yeah, that's great. For the first time since I've started here, I can actually take decisions that cost us money rather than just save money, which is a big change.
Now, when I was growing up, obviously there were lots of lion births in Dublin Zoo and giraffe births. Those are the ones that I can recall, but no elephant births. You've changed all of that.
That has changed dramatically. Of course, we were known as the Irish lion industry in the last century, and also, you know, in the 20th century for a while. You're right. Nowadays, we don't breed that many lions. Our lions, also the elephants, are part of coordinated European breeding programs for conservation, and we only breed lions when we are recommended to breed them from the breeding program coordinator. And that is to retain a sufficient amount of genetic diversity in the overall lion population in European zoos. Because if single zoos like Dublin, for instance, would breed too many of them, obviously the genetic makeup of the population would start being biased. So that isn't the case any longer. We have, though, bred quite a few elephants. Since 2007, we've had 10 calves here at Dublin Zoo, which is actually a really large number. Most of those were sired by a bull that came to us from Chester Zoo, Upperley, who has left for a zoo in France now because he had sired so many calves here in Dublin that the breeding program deemed that he should move to another zoo and be put together with other females there, with other cows, so that different genetic lines would come up now there.
Now, you face all the time, I suppose, criticism in some quarters of the very idea of zoos. They're very popular with the public. And I can see myself from the time when I was growing up how things have changed, the freedoms animals have compared to what they might have had when I was a child.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Zoos have changed a lot since, also since I was a child. I was born in 1973. As I mentioned, most of our animals, or many of our animals, are part of coordinated conservation breeding programs now. Animal welfare is our mandate, I always say. You know, without very positive animal welfare, we couldn't do anything of all the other things that we do, like conservation, like education. We breed animals for potential release into the wild, but we're also contributing to quite a number of international conservation projects in the field. So at the moment, we are contributing to over 20 such projects, some of them here in Ireland for barn owls, for instance, and various other species, some further afield, like the elephant program in India, for example, or also things like the scimitar-horned oryx in Tunisia and so on. So that is one thing. And then another strand of zoo-based conservation is behavior change campaigns. We are trying to use our large numbers of visitors to actually create change and get people to change to more wildlife-friendly habits, which is also a big thing that zoos contribute to these days.
Well, I'm sure it will be a wonderful exhibition and will no doubt prompt more people to visit Dublin Zoo. Christoph, thank you very much for joining us. Christoph Schwitzer, the CEO of Dublin Zoo. Sarah Costigan, Deputy Director of the Little Museum of Dublin. Before I let you go, Sarah, I want to talk to you about the Pat Scott cat. Explain.
Absolutely. So Pat Scott, the artist, was commissioned to design a mosaic in Bosaris. This went particularly well, and that leads to him then being commissioned to redesign the CIE train carriages. And I'm sure many of your readers or your listeners will be very familiar with the iconic orange and black design on the carriages for many, many years. So the particular colours were chosen and inspired by an animal called Miss Mouse, who was actually Pat's own personal domestic pet.
Okay, so one cat inspired an entire fleet of trains. So there you are. Anyway, when is the exhibition open to the public, Sarah?
So it opens officially today, and there is something for everyone in the family to see, from our younger children through to us grown-ups who are perhaps children at heart. And it'll run from now in the Little Museum on St. Stephen's Green until September.
Okay, and it's very near the turnoff at Dawson Street, so not hard to find at all. Sarah, thank you very much for joining us. Sarah Costigan, Deputy Director of the Little Museum of Dublin.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.